Each Monday, we talk a little health with Dr. Most.
Woke up after midnight, both my neck and arms were sore.
If you've reached the age where you can hurt yourself sleeping.
On my upper lip, there's a growth I've never seen before.
Yeah, you don't want that.
And I wish that there was someone I could call.
That's why we're giving out Dr. Most's home phone number this morning.
The WGN hotline.
Or that.
I have edema on my thigh, pink stuff in my eye, and I need you now.
Dr. Kevin Most from Northwestern Medicine, Central DuPage Hospital. Northwestern Medicine, impact every day. Good morning, Doc.
Good morning, Steve. How are you doing?
All right. How was your weekend?
Not bad, you know. This cold weather's getting here, so it's just time to buckle down and kind of stay in and read books.
You sound like you're a little sniffly.
Yeah, I've got this little cold that's been kind of hanging around here for a little while.
You haven't been around sick people, have you?
No, none at all. Nope. Nope.
How does anyone that works in a hospital every day not be sick all the time?
I'll tell you, one of the biggest things is washing your hands. You know, we've proven that over and over and over again. But still, someone's going to sneeze in your face, someone's going to cough in your face, and you're going to get a little cold, and we just struggle through it.
And, of course, the nurses are the front line of that.
They are phenomenal, and they do. They really, when we talk about doctors going into rooms and seeing patients, we're in there for, you know, 10, 15, 20 minutes. Nurses are in there for 8 hours. So,
right.
Yeah, they are the frontline people.
All right, we're going to talk about headaches. We're also going to talk about maybe a little whooping cough. But let me ask you about David Bowie. We don't know much yet, but at 69, a cancer death isn't unusual. But is there anything indicative of anything you've seen in the reporting that would tell you what type of cancer he may have been dealing with, or is there just nothing out there?
No, you know, he fought for 18 months, so we look at, you know, what kind of cancers could that time frame be, and there's quite a few of them. So it's really difficult to say. You know, I totally understand the privacy issue with the family, but sometimes it's nice to highlight what type of cancer it was for awareness for other people, to increase, you know, screening, increase research opportunities. So totally understand that. But 18 months, it could have been a brain tumor, could have been pancreas, could have been a whole bunch of different things.
It's interesting, too. You see a guy that doesn't have any of the usual health markers. You know, he was always a skinny guy.
Yep.
He was an active guy. I think he probably smoked, but I don't think after the 70s, he never had a big drug phase, did he? I don't remember that. I don't remember any big booze issues with him. So it seemed like he led a fairly healthy life. Then he marries a supermodel, so I'm guessing they're not doing racks of ribs every night at the house. But it doesn't matter. And that's why it's so important to continue the research funding we do. You know, I get frustrated like everybody else, and I'm sure people in the medical community do. We throw billions and billions and billions of dollars at cancer. What do we know? Well, the truth is we know a lot more now than we did before, right?
Oh, it's amazing what we know now versus what we knew 10 years ago, 20 years ago. Even the treatment advancements have gone up, you know, dramatically. So, you know, people shouldn't get discouraged. You know, a study just came out that showed that 22 states right now, the number one cause of death is cancer. Well, 10 years ago, 50 states, it was heart disease. So you say, oh my gosh, cancer, look what's happening with cancer. And you can also flip it around and say, no, we're starting to treat heart disease much better, and now people are dying of cancer. So it's something that we struggle with, and you know, it's we're making advancements, whether it's identification, prevention, treatment, but we have to have a little bit of time here too.
Yeah, and I think the other thing we need to remember too is cancer, like arthritis, and I suppose to a lesser extent heart disease, is an umbrella term for a number of different conditions that can have different cures and different outcomes and certainly different treatments. So we all sort of put it in one basket. I think it's more than possible that we will in our lifetime have some sort of cure for a particular type of cancer that maybe doesn't work for all cancers.
Oh, absolutely. And you hit it right on the head. You know, when we say cancer, we're talking about hundreds of different types of cancer. So some of them we've had great advancements to a point where if caught early enough, we can say we're going to cure you and you're going to be in remission forever. Others are still a little bit more frustrating for us, and those are the ones that we need to put some research dollars towards.
So. All right, so we'll come back. We'll talk about migraines. You ever suffer from migraines? I never have.
I never have either, you know, and very fortunate because after you treat patients who have had migraines, you really start to feel sorry for them, and you really, it's a frustrating disease. So we'll touch on a few points.
And some whooping cough as well. Is it whooping cough season, or are we just seeing a lot of it?
No, we're just seeing a lot of it, and that's what happens. We get these outbreaks, and it's good that you're bringing it up for awareness because this is one that we can essentially prevent with immunization, and people need to know who needs to be immunized and what to look for.
I'll check the text, too, at 312-981-7200. Steve Cochran Show continues with Dr. Kevin Most. We'll do traffic here. Mary's back with your traffic. Dr. Kevin Most, Central DuPage Hospital and Northwestern Medicine Impact every day. Doc, before we get to what we were going to talk about here, from the 847, can you ask Dr. Most about shingles? My 50-year-old husband has it. General shingles information?
Yeah. First I say, ouch, and I'm sorry that he has it. Shingles is caused by a virus, the same virus that causes chicken pox. So if you had chicken pox, it's in your body. It's still there living, but the immune system keeps it under control. When we get under stress or we get a little immunocompromised, the shingles virus starts to multiply. It'll follow along one nerve, and it just inflames a nerve. And it's very, very, very uncomfortable. So the treatment for it is try to knock down that pain as much as you can. Sometimes we just use anti-inflammatories. Other times we have to use strong narcotics. The big message here is if you're over the age of 55, get that shingles shot, which is going to prevent you from getting shingles because this is a terrible, painful, ugly disease, and it's not a lot of fun. Anybody who's had it will tell you, get the shot. It'll protect you from getting shingles.
And from a 773, if you were an infant that only got two doses of pertussis due to a bad reaction, can you be tested to check your immunity somehow?
Yeah, you know, when people get bad reactions to vaccines, it's very important that they do see a pediatric allergist, and there's many good ones around, because you still want to make sure are there other ways to get that protection. And especially when you start talking about some of the childhood diseases, whether it's measles, mumps, rubella, pertussis, there's a whole bunch there that we really protect. So if it's sometimes it's due to something that's in the vaccine, and if that's the case, then they can go to other manufacturers. But it's good to see a pediatric allergist to make sure which one would be safe for their next dose.
Doc, it's already 11 days into the new year. We've all kind of tried to eat a little healthier, given up a few things that maybe aren't so good for us. So last night at our family dinner, there was talk being thrown around about doing some of these races, you know, some of these Shamrock Shuffle, and it was also brought up that, you know, you shouldn't just jump right into that. You should do some sort of a training program. So maybe not today because the weather's going to be in the teens, but your thoughts on if you want to start doing some of this and making exercise, you know, a bigger routine in your life, how do you go about it safely?
Yeah, it's a good point, Andrea, because now you're starting to see, you know, dash up the towers for lung disease, and you are starting to see some of these things that we're trying to get people more active by having events that promote a charity and that also are active. So it's really important for people to ease into things, because if you say, I'm going to run the Shamrock Shuffle and I'm not going to do anything now because it's cold, and then all of a sudden I think I'm going to go out and run a few miles, it's not good for your heart, it's not good for your lungs, it's not good for your joints. So starting on a low level, low impact exercise, if you haven't, is great, and then work your way up. Whether that's starting just with walking on a treadmill or walking in a mall if it's this cold, but getting your heartbeat up and getting your heart rate up and getting your flexibility up. Stretching is almost as important in some of these cases as just trying to get your cardio up as well.
So I don't eat chocolate anymore. Mary doesn't eat chocolate anymore except for this weekend when she cheated.
Dang, you caught me.
Andrea's getting it done with the Seattle Sutton situation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's going great.
That's the new name of the program, right? The
Seattle Sutton Healthy Eating. Yeah, this is the Seattle Sutton situation. It's awesome. Food's great. It's really good.
Good. And Dave?
I've not had a glass of wine.
But in regards to what Dr. Most was just talking about, Kevin, who hadn't been working out really in a while, went out and started running 3 miles a day the other day, Doc.
Good for Kevin.
Yeah, and his knee hurts.
Yeah. I mean, again, I wouldn't rush right into it, but that's
even at 26,
3 miles is okay for someone who's 26. That's not a problem.
Yeah, I'll battle through. No fast food though for me.
That's awesome.
Staying strong,
really
Doc.
Great. And I'd go back to Dave. You know, red wine is actually good for your health. So, I mean, again, when we talked about what you guys were going to quit, a glass, two glasses of red wine is good for your health. So that one might, we might give Dave a reprieve on that.
Well, you may as a doctor. We're not giving him a reprieve on the show. We're not here to keep, we're not here to keep Dave alive. We're here to keep him to his plan. Kevin, with the sharp knee pain, what do you think we should do for him? Put him into some sort of assisted care facility until he feels better?
Well, probably stop running 3 miles. That might be the first thing I would do. Mm-hmm. And probably, like I said, kind of ease back into exercise.
How about swimming, Kev? Do you swim?
I love to swim. Yeah, maybe I'll start swimming.
Swimming's really good for your knees. Uh-huh.
Swimming is great. Very low impact on all of your joints, and yet you can still get a good cardiovascular workout.
See, I'm not a good swimmer, so when I swim, it's more of a cardiovascular threat because I'd be in the water going, help! Help! It's not nearly as good as the regular way that people swim.
The little floaty things on your arm, too. It's just embarrassing.
Yep. All right, migraines. Do we know what causes migraines?
You know, see, there's 40 million people with migraines, and you think, gosh, we should know what causes them. And really, we don't. We have some good ideas. We think that it's mainly one nerve called the trigeminal nerve. And we've looked at it and said, okay, what could it be? And we just fortunately just had some very good research that came out of University of California at San Francisco that is might be kind of breakthrough, and we'll see if it pans out. But if we look at what we do for migraines now, our biggest push has been how do we treat migraines? In other words, I come in with a migraine, what medication, what can we do to treat the pain? The people at UCFS said, wait a second, what if we stopped the migraine from even happening in the first place? We wouldn't have to worry about this. So that's what their research is on right now. And they've had just a great study that's just coming through, and it may pan out and be very popular.
And people that get migraines sort of have a sense of when they're coming, but when they talk about an aura, I never understood that.
Yeah, so people that have classic migraines, they'll have something called an aura, and that aura is sometimes flashing lights. So they don't have a headache at all, but yet they're going to see some lights, or they're going to see some flickering lights. Some of them just smell an odor that no one else can smell, like, oh, no. That's a good thing with migraine sufferers because it allows them to get to a safe environment. Because when people can get migraines, they can be devastating to a point where they can't even function. So think about that. If you're driving a car and you're going to go a long distance and all of a sudden you start to see these lights and you're like, oh my gosh, in the next hour I'm going to have a migraine. And you certainly don't want to be behind the wheel of a car when you're doing that.
And medication-wise, any advancements there?
Medications have been okay. You know, we started, people have been using Botox a little bit, so that helps in some people. There's a whole slew of different medications that have been working, but it really varies from some people. Some people get better on ergotamine. Some people get better with tryptophan. Some people actually still need narcotics.
Tryptophan, so eating turkey?
Yeah, triptans. I'm sorry, not tryptophan. Did I say tryptophan?
You did say tryptophan.
Yeah, triptans is a classification.
I was going to say, so Thanksgiving Day is migraine sufferer's favorite day.
It probably is good.
Andrea, you knew about the Botox thing?
Yeah, I'd heard that. Although I'd heard it causes, for some it causes headaches. Is that right, Doc? But for others, it's more of a cure-all. Kind of like NyQuil. I think that affects some people it puts to sleep. Other people it gives them weird nightmares.
Yes, that's very true.
Are you in the weird nightmare category?
Yeah. How did you know?
Because you brought up weird numbers. And as far as migraines, hope for the future, again, there's research that goes into headache suffering because we all get headaches at different times. But how do you know if you've got a dangerous headache?
Yeah, you know, people say, oh, well, what about headaches? And we say, well, and for doctors, it's sometimes, I don't want to say frustrating, but it can be because we have a very short period of time to make a diagnosis on something that is subjective. You come in and tell me I am having pain in my head. We have to sit there and figure out, is this something serious? Could this be an aneurysm? Could this be a stroke? Could this be a tumor? Or is it something as simple as a tension headache? Is it simple as a sinus infection? Is it something, you know, toothache? Is it an ear problem? So it's very important that we sort out the very serious ones from the non-serious ones, because obviously the treatments are huge and the conditions can be devastating between the two of them. So it's a difficult challenge diagnostically for physicians, but once they get to the right one, we still have some frustrations with the treatment plans.
All right, so Andrea's favorite topic is flu shots. She loves the flu shots.
I got one.
I know you did. And you were not you know, comfortable with it, but would you explain the process of what happened to you for people who share your anxiety about flu shots?
I just do, I don't like, it's not that, you know, everyone has different fears of needles. I know Ross, mm-hmm. your son, has a big fear of needles. It's
Same
not so much
Bill
the needle.
F, yeah.
I just always had these, you know, you hear all the rumors that you get the flu if you get the flu shot, you get the chills, that kind of thing.
All that nonsense.
All that nonsense, yeah. And I'm here to tell you, it's all nonsense. Because and, I did, I was one of those people.
Yeah, and do you feel like maybe the next time you get it, it'll be easier?
Yeah, because this is my second year, right?
Yeah.
That I've gotten it.
Yeah, last year you actually booked a trip to Europe to try to get out.
Yeah,
of it.
Exactly.
No, that was the year before.
Was that it?
Yeah.
She went to Scotland, so she didn't have.
That's
to get
right.
A shot.
And we were talking about whooping cough before I let you go, Doc. Whooping
yeah.
cough boosters for everybody.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, whooping cough. We used to just think that you got your shots through your adolescence and we didn't need to give one after that. Then we had some outbreaks. We've had some recent outbreaks in the city of Chicago. So really important, especially for adults who are going to be around kids. So whether it's going to be grandparents or parents themselves, so Ross, you know, those are the big important ones there. Because whooping cough can be devastating to children, to adolescents and to young children. And it's a simple shot. When you go to get your tetanus shot, just make sure you ask them to give you the one that has pertussis in it as well. It's called Adacel.
Right. Well done by you. And feel better there, Sniffles.
Yeah, no, I really. I've been kind of kicking this around for a week or two. I'm kind of getting frustrated with it, but I don't know any doctors. So
exactly. Who would you call? Dr. Kevin Moe, sponsored by Northwestern Medicine. Impact every day. Talk to you soon.
You got it. Talk to you later.